We welcome in our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Ross, good to have you back on the show. We were just talking about John Harbaugh, and of course, the surprise. I think for a lot of people, surprising. I know there were some rumors about maybe the relationship there with Lamar down the stretch, but your reaction to the fact that Harbaugh becomes the top name immediately, but the Ravens job is also the top job available immediately.
Well, I would agree with you on both accounts. I also am a big fan of Kevin Stefanski as a head coach. I mean, if you're a two-time coach of the year for the Cleveland Browns, that says a lot given where that organization has been. You know, I'm not shocked. I am a little surprised just because he had been there for so long. But, you know, they have an MVP caliber quarterback in his prime. And it feels like out of the four elite quarterbacks in the AFC that he's had the least amount of playoff success. You know, I mean, Burrow's gotten to a Super Bowl and another conference championship game. Josh Allen's gotten to a couple conference championship games. You guys know more than anybody how many conference championship games and Super Bowls Patrick's gotten to. Lamar Jackson has won three playoff games. You know, I posted this on social media, at Ross Tucker NFL. Joe Flacco won 10 playoff games. It's kind of crazy to me that Harbaugh's tenure ends with Joe Flacco having more than three times as many playoff wins as Lamar Jackson. So if you're Steve Bisciotti, the owner for the Ravens, you kind of have to figure out what your next move is. It felt like they were going the wrong direction. A couple years ago, they were in the AFC Championship game. They lost at home to the Chiefs. Last year, they lose in the divisional round up in Buffalo. This year, they don't even make the playoffs. And I've been told by someone that would know that they felt like it was either going to be Lamar Jackson or John Harbaugh back next year, that they didn't really foresee a scenario where both of those guys would be back. And I think most NFL owners would pick, you know, the multiple-time MVP quarterback in his prime over the coach that's been there for a long time and is in whatever Harbaugh is in, mid-60s.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. That's what we were saying is I think 99.9% of the time I'm choosing the star franchise quarterback. I don't care what the coach accomplished prior.
That's correct. I mean, that's why I always think it's funny, by the way. I always see these people say that wins and losses aren't a quarterback stat, but they are a coach stat. And I think, okay, who has more to do with whether they win or lose the game? I mean, why do you think quarterbacks get paid, you know, five times more than coaches? You know, it's because they have a greater input and impact on the game and who actually wins it. I get that quarterbacks don't play defense, but I don't know, coaches don't play at all. They're just standing on the sideline.
When you look at what the Chiefs are going to do coach-wise, and then we can talk about some of these upcoming NFL playoff games. When you look at where the Chiefs currently are, it looks like, by all accounts, Matt Nagy will no longer be the offensive coordinator. He's a free agent. Nobody expects him to return. So they'll be looking for, I hope, fresh blood. What do you think should be the plan for the Chiefs at OC? How big of an impact or how big of a hire is this for Andy Reid, knowing that, for the most part, it's just been guys he knows? It's been Nagy and Kafka and Bieniemy his entire run. Do you think he'll go outside that circle?
That is the million-dollar question. I think they probably could use some fresh ideas, some fresh blood. I will also tell you, though, that Kafka is very highly regarded around the NFL. You know, he obviously got his shot as an interim head coach. The Giants didn't cave on him. You know, they won these last two games. We can debate how smart that was to win the last two games, but they did, and they put up a bunch of points in those last two games with a young quarterback in Jackson Dart. Kafka did a bunch of things from a, you know, design quarterback run standpoint that I don't think you'll see the Chiefs do anytime soon. So that's probably what Andy's wrestling with. You know, does he stick with Nagy or bring back Kafka, or does he bring on in someone totally different? And I think different people have different philosophies in life on that. Sometimes people really like the comfort zone and a known commodity and someone that they really think is talented and good at what they do, like Mike Kafka. And then others realize that we all at times need to be intellectually challenged. And we all look, I can tell you right now, I was talking to a guy at the bar the other day, and he was telling me how radiologists, that's a bad field to get into because AI can do a better job of reading, you know, radiology scans than actual radiologists can.
That's not great.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I'm out of the loop when it comes to AI. My daughters can do things on my phone. I have no idea how they did it or how they learned to do it. I'll be FaceTiming them and they'll like share their screen. So look, I'm not that old. I'm 46, but I can even say from my standpoint in life, you know, my podcast producer, Jack, for the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, he's 24. Thank God. Thank God I have a 24-year-old producer. You know, I mean, he knows so many things that I don't know. You know, I'm trying to, you know, broadcast these games and be a good dad and husband. And, you know, tonight we got volleyball and then dance. I'm not keeping up with the latest. And so I guess I wonder on some level, is Andy keeping up with the latest? Is Andy as in touch as he would want to be with some of the trends? You know, McVay, nobody used 13 personnel, which is one running back, three tight ends, more than Sean McVay this year. And they were explosive out of it. They averaged an incredible amount of yards per completion, which you would never think with three tight ends. And quite frankly, you know, there have been times where that might have been a good move for the Chiefs. You know, Kelsey, Noah Gray, Tonyan, like maybe that could have helped the offense out a little bit because goodness knows they weren't getting the production that we all thought they were going to get from the receiving core. So I'll be really, really curious. That, I mean, I'm sure you guys will talk about it a lot. I'll be curious to hear who the candidates are, but that's a huge, huge hire for Andy Reid.
How, I guess, much do you think the fact that Andy's still the play caller, if you're an OC and you're thinking about weighing whether you come to Kansas City or you go take an OC job somewhere else, how much do you think that, I guess, hurts the Chiefs, whether we're talking about a Cliff Kingsbury or whoever you think might be a good fit, if they were to go outside the Kafka, Andy Reid type of circle, does that hurt their chances, in your opinion?
Well, two thoughts. One is, we don't know for sure Andy would keep calling the plays. I think that that's highly likely,
right?
Because it seems like he loves to do it, but that's not 100% certainty. And in that instance, the coordinator candidate would have to weigh two things. Am I better off in my quest to get a head coaching gig? Am I better off calling plays somewhere? You know, and just name this team, Tennessee or the Raiders or the Giants or whatever. Am I better off calling plays somewhere or going to a Chiefs organization that, let's be honest, is really likely to have a bounce back season? I don't know that that means 14 or 15 wins, but the reality is, what were they last year? 15-2?
Right. Yep.
Okay. They probably should have been like a 12-win team with winning, you know, a ridiculous amount of one-score games in a row. This year, we know what their record is. They're probably this year more like a 9 or 10-win team, but they lost those games. So I think the truth probably lies somewhere in the middle, and I only bring that up because if you're a coordinator candidate, you could come to Kansas City, and let's assume you're not calling plays. You would be part of a team that very likely bounces back, wins double-digit games. You know, we'll see what Mahomes' health situation is, whatever. Wins double-digit games, go to the playoffs, and you will have been around arguably the best head coach ever with one of the best organizations, and there is a track record of guys from Kansas City like Nagy, and maybe even again, I saw where he has three head coaching interviews the next couple of days, you know, there is a track record of guys in that position, even without calling plays, getting head coaching interviews, getting, you know, Bieniemy got a zillion interviews. He just wasn't able to close the deal. You know, whether you call plays or not, if you're the Chiefs' offensive coordinator, those guys get head coaching interviews.
When you look at the, let's go to the playoff field now, and we can start on the NFC side anyway. Seattle, obviously, the big question is going to be Sam Darnold. And then with Chicago, it's whether or not this two seed and who they've turned out to be is kind of a true nature of them. For some reason, Ross, and I guess tell me what you're thinking about the NFC playoff field right now. I just keep circling back around to saying it's going to be Philly, isn't it? They got the best roster still on the NFC side, and they will at least get a chance to play a home game or two. And I feel like they're in as good of a position as a lot of these teams to go through and cycle through that, because the NFC, I think, has the better rosters, but has the less good quarterbacks. And on the AFC side, I feel like there's a slightly better quarterback play.
So I put this out on social media today at Ross Tucker NFL. This is more of like a hunch or a gut feeling, but I think the winner of the Bills-Jags game is going to the Super Bowl. I really do. I think the Jags are super good, and people don't realize it because a lot of their players that are good are kind of under the radar. Parker Washington, Brenton Strange, a lot of people listen to Kansas City don't even know who those guys are. They're good. Like, they're the type of guys, after the Jags go on a playoff run, people are going to say, oh my gosh, the Jags have all this good young talent, but people don't know who they are yet. And I think the Bills are the Bills, which everybody in Kansas City knows. I just have a feeling that, to me, it's a shame that they're playing on Sunday, because I think that could be the AFC championship game. I think they're both capable of winning multiple playoff games. Obviously, that can't happen now. The NFC, there's only three teams I really foresee gaining the Super Bowl, and it's the Seahawks, Eagles, and Rams.
Yep.
I think, you know, the Rams, I know they wanted to be the number one seed and have a bye. They have the closest thing to a bye you
right,
can have.
Right.
I mean, playing the Carolina Panthers, might be the worst team in that division right now, you know, with the way the Falcons and Saints finished the year. So, I don't know. I know it's nice to have a bye. It's probably nice to get your confidence going by beating the Panthers by 17, which I think the Rams will probably do. I certainly think the Eagles' defense gives them a chance. I'll be curious to see, starting Sunday, I'll be calling that game with Ian Eagle for Westwood One. I'll be curious to see how much they utilize Hurts as a runner, because that's kind of that trump card in their back pocket that they use. The problem is the Eagles clearly had the best offensive line in the league last year, and those guys are just so beat up that they haven't really been even a top 10 unit this year, which is a big reason why their offense has really struggled.
Do you think if the Bills lose to the Jags, that Sean McDermott's at risk of being fired?
Yes. Yeah, and actually, it's funny because I don't think that they would hire John Harbaugh, because he's kind of been in the same boat as McDermott, you know, in terms of not being able to get over the Chiefs hump in recent years. So I don't know that they would just hire Harbaugh right away, but they might, because Harbaugh's at least shown that he can do it, that he can get, you know, a team to the Super Bowl and win it, which McDermott hasn't. And I would think that this might be the year where Terry Pegula says, you know what? It's been a good run, but it's time to give somebody else a chance to see if that would just be wild. I mean, to have that many coaches with that many pelts on the wall, like McDermott and Stefanski and Harbaugh, all be available in a year in which none of the quote unquote coordinator guys are considered, you know, to be that great.
Before we let you go, Ross Tucker joining us here on 96.5 The Fan. You mentioned Jags and Bills, you think the winner is going to the Super Bowl. Who do you think, I guess, they'd be playing then? Who else in the AFC do you look at? Are we going to see surprise? People are picking, you know, the Texans to win, but could the Steelers put together one last run here for Aaron Rodgers? Do you believe that the Broncos, having that number one seed with that championship caliber defense, will be there when it's all said and done?
I kind of like the Texans just because of that defense. And I think the Patriots are a better team than the Broncos. I mean, it might work out for the Broncos being the number one seed, but I'm not really a believer. By the way, I heard you guys talking like 8 minutes ago before I came on about Kelce.
Yeah.
And which one of you said that, was it your mom that said, bring him back no matter what?
Yes, that was me. Yes.
And then Cody, what were you saying?
I said, there's almost, cause I don't think the number's going to, he's not going to ask for $30 million. There's not a number that I'm bothered by because I think the number will be around top tight end money or slightly below that. And that he's still one of the five most productive tight ends in the NFL. And I don't think people realize how hard it is to get a good tight end because in Kansas City, it's just been 20 years of Tony Gonzalez and Travis Kelce.
Well, a couple things. If you don't, I mean, look, I don't know if he wants to play or not or retire or do TV or whatever, but if you don't bring him back, that's yet another position then that you have to fill. You know, like there's already several positions that the Chiefs need to work on. I wouldn't want to add one to the mix. In terms of the money, you know, I'm actually very impressed that maybe, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't ever remember him really making a stink about how much he was making. It kind of feels like he was underpaid like the last 10 years.
For
I think
sure.
part of that yep. might just be the tight end position itself.
It was undervalued. Yeah, it wasn't his fault. He was still the highest paid, but the position hadn't jumped.
Yeah, that position is by far the most undervalued. Like, I mean, for like guys like Kelce or Kittle or whatever to be making $10 million less than like Michael Pittman, you know, or some of these like second-rate receivers is bizarre to me. And the number that jumped out to me about Kelce is the 11.2 yards per catch this year. I mean, last year it was 8.5. The year before that it was 10.6. You just don't see that. I mean, I don't know what he did in the offseason or whatever, but that is rare for a guy at age 36 to average almost 3 more yards per catch this year than he did last year. That's a good sign. That's usually one of, you know, yards per carry, yards per catch. That's one of the major signs that front offices look at for whether a guy is like lost a step or whatever. And Kelce went the other way this year in a major way.
It's because he got on that Taylor Swift work ethic plan. That is my genuine. I'm not even just saying that to like be like, I genuinely think that that's what happened.
It's so funny that you say that because maybe because she's from my hometown or whatever, because I'm a big fan of her music. There will be like Taylor Swift workout videos pop up on my Instagram. And she does serious workouts. So she's like, she's got those rope fingers, you know, like, I don't even know what those things are called. She's like squatting and doing those rope fingers. Like whatever her workout is, we should all be doing.
Ross, appreciate it, man. Enjoy Wildcard Weekend. Have a good call, and we'll check in for divisional round.
Sounds great. See you guys.